Okay, welcome to the Shir in Kli Yakar, Parshas Re'eh. I wanted to take a look at a Kli Yakar in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Chof Beis, a Parsha, a Perek which is familiar to us because it oftentimes is read on the Yom Tovim, and certainly the idea is one which is familiar to us. Aser to Aser is called Tvu Azarecha. Right, there's a mitzvah to take off maestros from all of the grain, tithes, to take off tithes from all of the grain that that grows in our fields. And the this is a mitzvah narrative throughout to take off maestros, but more generally, Chazal interpret that aser to aser is not simply talking about taking off maestros from produce, but talking about the idea of taking off, of giving tzedakah, and specifically the idea of ma'aser k'safim, of taking off a tenth of our assets to give tzedakah. The Kli Yakar is struck by the double lashon aser to aser. You should take off tithes. You should take off tithes. We know that Chazal and the Gemara and Tainus darshan that particular lashon in a famous way. Chazal say aser to aser means aser b'shvil shetis asher. You should take off tithes in order to become wealthy, and giving tzedakah or taking off meister is one of the few things where we're allowed, says the Gemara, to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, if you take off the meisters properly, I will bestow bracha upon you, and we have the right to put that to the test, says the Gemara. The Kli Yakar gives two alternate explanations as to why the lashon is doubled, aser to aser, and both of them are quite striking. So, says the Kli Yakar, l'fi she'emar, havio es kol ha'matzer obeis ha'otzar, v'rikosti lachem bracha ad b'lidor. He quotes the well-known pasuk from Sefer Malachi. The Navi Malachi is trying to encourage the Jewish people to give meister where they have been derelict in giving meister previously. And the Navi says, if you bring all of the meister to the storage house, varikosti lachem bracha ad b'lidoi, I will empty out all of the bracha, all of the blessing upon you, ad b'lidoi, until there isn't enough. So that's a very strange lashon. Ad b'lidoi, until there isn't enough. No, until there is enough, right? What do you mean, until there isn't enough? So the Gemara dashes ad sheyivlu tivso seicha milomar dai. In a play on words, the Gemara says that you'll get so much sustenance that your lips will be worn out from saying dai dai. It's enough. If it's enough, in other words, there'll be an overabundance of sustenance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bestow upon us. Well, bir ha'inyan hu. What does that mean? That your lips are going to wear out from saying enough, enough. He says as follows. Again, as Chazal themselves indicate, the promise that the Torah is giving us is that if we give the maestros properly, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bestow upon us above and beyond an overabundance of bracha. So, being that we're getting an overabundance, the lashon dai, enough, is not really an accurate lashon under those circumstances. Ki lashon dai shayich lomar kishyesh lahem dei machsorim. Enough means just enough. Dai means that, you know, you had a certain need, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for the need, and good, so you have enough. Avol kishyesh lahem dai v'hoseh. But if you have more than enough, lo yuchlu lo omar dai. So then the term dai, enough, is not appropriate. Bizdehu b'li dai. That's what the pasuk means in Malachi, just on a simple level. Varikosi lachem bracha ad b'li dai. I will bring down upon you bracha ad b'li dai, so that it's not enough. Meaning, it's not that it's not enough in the sense that it's insufficient. It's not enough in the sense that it's oversufficient. It's an overabundance of bracha that the Ribbono Shalom was bringing down upon us. That's the ad b'li dai. B'li hu lashon lo. Rav Shalom shlo yomar lo dai. So, in other words, b'li dai means you won't be able to say dai, it's enough. V'hayim sheyivlo tifso seichem milomar dai. Yeh ha'peh yochol adaber dai k'sheyesh dai v'hoseh. That's what it means that your lips will wear out saying the word enough. I think the Pashut Pshat, the way it's usually understood, is that the Jewish people say enough, 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 and they'll keep saying enough so many times that, so to speak, their lips are going to wear out. So the Kliyakar says, no, means you'll be incapable of saying enough, because enough implies that we have just enough. We're going to have an overabundance. Okay, so far what he's done is really just to paraphrase and slightly, you know, elaborate on the Gemara that says that when we give maestros, so we're going to be blessed, or the Gemara, the Pasuk that says when we give maestros, we're going to be blessed not only with bracha, but with an overabundance of bracha, above and beyond what we need for our own needs. So having done that, comes the Kliyakar, and he comes back to the Lashon of Aser to Aser, the double Lashon that we have at the beginning of the Parsha. Ya also Riboy Muflag Omar Kefel Aser to Aser. And this overabundance of bracha, which the Pasuk in Malachi speaks of explicitly, is hinted at in the double Lashon Aser to Aser. How so? Rav Salomah, im aser shetite meister b'shana zo asara mimeya, oz tizkeh shelashana haba te aser es kol tvu azariyacha shoshana zo v'yasa l'shana haba elef midos v'sitte meya me'eser meya meister v'chein yasa midei shana b'shana. In a very, you know, sweet interpretation, he says as follows. Aser, te aser is called tfu aserecha. He says, put a slight comma between the aser and the te aser, and interpret as follows. If this year you take off maestros properly, you know, aser, in other words, let's say for argument's sake you have 100 units of crops, and you take off 10 of those units and give them to maestro, so te aser es kol tfu aserecha, which he interprets to mean you will multiply your output 10 times. Te aser, not in the sense of take off a tenth, but te aser, multiplied by 10. And the interpretation, he says, is as follows. If you take off Meister this year, you know, 10 out of 100, you'll find yourself next year taking, off 100 out of 1,000, because the output of your field will have increased tenfold. Aser, to aser is called tfu aserecha. If you take off maaser, you will increase tenfold the output of your field. V'chein yaseh midei shana v'shana v'zesh omar hayotze asadeh shana shana. And that's what the pasuk means when it refers to taking off the produce from the field that emerges shana shana, from one year to the next. The truth is, if you think about it on the level of pasuk pshat, the term, the phrase shana shana is really extraneous. Aser to aser is called tu aserecha hayotzei hasada. Right? Now, let's take off maestros from all of the produce that comes off of the field. Why do you have to tell me shana b'shana? You know, from year to year. Obviously, it's a yearly obligation, right? The obligation to take off maestro from your crops, by definition, is an annual obligation, because the crops are produced on an annual basis. So Chazal is sensitive to this as well. Chazal say that Shana B'Shana tells us that there's a year for Meister, and that you can't be Mafrish Meister from this year on the produce of the previous year. In other words, the Meister has to line up with the year from which you're taking off the Meister, right, or the produce which you want to exempt with the Meister. The Kliyakar is saying a different Pshat, Al Derech Hadrush, that Shana B'Shana, you will see if you give Meister, you know, every year you're going to have this exponential increase in the output of your field, so that, you know, things are just going to balloon in a way which is incredible. That's what it means, shana b'shana, that, you know, from year to year you're going to see this exponential growth in terms of the output of the field. That's aser to aser. That's one pshat that he says. So again, according to this one interpretation, the pasuk is already hinting at that which is more explicit in the Pasuk in Malachi and in Chazal and the Gemara, that you know, that the reward for taking off maisers properly is going to be an abundance of physical prosperity that will come about as a result. That's one pshat. Says the Kliyoker is second pshat. Aklafish mashtem asir shekol inyoni tzokha kfulim. I think of another pshat, he says, because the truth is, you find a very curious thing. The Torah uses multiple lashonos with regard to tzedakah that are double lashonos, where the Torah uses a double phrase, it doubles the verb, specifically when speaking about the idea of tzedakah. And it gives a whole bunch of examples. Aser to aser, right? A little bit later on, nason titein lo, when the ani comes to you asking for tzedakah, you should give to him. Posoach tiftach, you should open your hand to him. Posoach tiftach is the yod cholom. And give him a present. Give him a present. The chenat tzarkof, right? And when the Torah speaks of the reward that you get for giving stuff, it also uses the double lashon. Kivorech yivorechecha. Hashem will bless you. He will bless you. So here you have, in the space of a couple of psukim, five examples with regard to tzedakah, where the Torah uses a double lashon in describing either the act of giving tzedakah or the reward for giving tzedakah. And that, of course, you know, says the Kliyoker, you know, five examples, that can't be accidental, that the Torah is just waxing poetic five different times. What's the meaning of this double lashon? Al kein yireh shekol inyonei tzedakah kfulim. What is coming to tell us, says the Kliyoker, is the basic yisod, a basic principle about tzedakah. Every act of tzedakah really has two dimensions to it. Hanesina b'yad, you give the poor person by hand what he needs, in other words, you know, making up his physical needs. Vapiyus v'peh, but there's a second element of tzedakah, and as he's going to develop, this is just as important as the first element. You have to appease the poor person verbally and make him feel good about the fact that, you know, despite the fact that he lacks so much on a physical level. Tzedakah is not just, here, take the money and get out of here, right? Tzedakah is rehabilitating the person financially, but also emotionally. In other words, to speak to the person and to give them a sense of self once again. Right? You give to him, not just that you give him the money, you give him cheerfully, you give him wholeheartedly. Right? The poor person should not hear abuse on your part. Here, take the money and get out of here. No. That's one aspect of tzedakah. But you're missing the second aspect of tzedakah, which is to try to rehabilitate him on a psychological level as well. That, says the Kliyoker, that's why every term that the Torah uses with regard to tzedakah is a double term. Aser to aser, posoach tiftach, nason titen. Again, it's not by coincidence that there's a double lashon employed every time, because every act of tzedakah has this double element to it. Taking care of him financially, taking care of him emotionally. And then he says a beautiful pshat. Ke'aru chazal, ha-mispalel yishe kishir k'nisas shnei pesachim. The Gemara in Brachos, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that says when a person comes into the Beis Medrash to daven, he should pause the amount of two pesachim, two entrances, before he begins to daven. Now, what does that mean? So there are different interpretations of the Rishon. It could be a question of space, it could be a question of time. You know, one interpretation is, don't daven next to the door. It looks like you're in a rush to leave, right? Maybe that is because you are in a rush to leave, right? But in other words, walk into the Beis Medrash, and walk into the Beis Medrash the length of two door lengths, and then sit down and daven. Don't daven next to the door, you know, so that the minute the chazan finishes, you can run out of there. Come into the Beis Medrash, you know, feel at home, feel like you belong here, and stay a while, as they say. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is in terms of time. You know, and unfortunately sometimes we're guilty of this. You know, you fall into davening. You open up the door and already you're saying Ashrei as you're sort of walking into the room. Come into the Beis Medrash. Pause. Collect your thoughts. Catch your breath. You know, wait the amount of time that it would take you to walk through two doors. In other words, it's a shear in time, not a shear in space. And then, after you've calmed yourself down a little bit, you can begin to doubt it. This is sometimes a lost art, you know. I remember, you know, older Jews, even today, I remember one relative of mine in particular used to do this. If the minyan is called for 8, that means that the right time to get there is 7:40, right? In order, because you have to make hachamas. That's a lost art. I mean, nowadays we're lucky if we get there 8:10, right? But the ideal is if a person's coming to daven, he needs time in order to get himself into the spirit of the daven. So those are the classic interpretations. Those are the interpretations that are brought to halacha. But comes the Kliyakar, he says, I want to give you another interpretation. As follows. Chazal tell us, the Gemara Bava Bastra, that before a person begins to daven, he should give a small amount of money to tzedakah. Right? We know that we keep up this practice to this day. The pushkas go around. You know, you give money to tzedakah in anticipation of davening. Many point out that the proper time to give tzedakah is not during the davening or after you finish Shemoneh Esrei, but to give the tzedakah davka before you start Shemoneh Esrei. In other words, the tzedakah should lead in to the davening. The pasuk says, "Ani betzedek echaz eponecha." Governor Melech says, "Rebbe Shalom, when I come to greet your face, I will do so betzedek. I will do so with tzedakah." So says the Kliyakar. This idea of giving tzedakah before davening is what Chazal had in mind when they said that a person who's davening should come into the Beis Medrash shnei tzedakah, two doors. What does two doors have to do with tzedakah? As follows. Zeu shir shnei tzedakah, kmo shekasov, posrach tiftach es yodcha. The word pesach or tzedakah usually is translated as doors. But on a certain level, if you translate it literally, it means two posoach, two openings. And says the Kliyakar, it's a reference to the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Posolach tiftach es yadcha lo. Open, you shall open your hand to the poor person and give him tzedakah. So says the Kliyakar as follows, Hanu psichas hayad, upsichas halev, shenizkar b'pasuk hakodem, lo sa'amis es levavcha v'lo sikpos es yadcha. Says the Kliyakar, so what Chazal is telling us when they say that you come into daven, you should come in sheer shnei tzedakim. What it really is saying is as follows. You should give tzedakah prior to davening. You should engage in a pesach, opening up your hand to the poor person. But it's not enough to simply open up your hand to the poor person. You have to be nichnas sheer shnei tzedakim. You have to go in two openings. What are the two openings? As the Kliyakar already said, every act of tzedakah has to be opening your hand, but also opening your heart. You have to give to the person financially. You have to provide for the person emotionally as well. So in other words, the Kliyakar, I think, would tell us, and again, you have to think about how to put this into practice, but the Kliyakar, I think, would tell us, you know, it's not enough. When we talk about giving tzedakah, you know, prior to davening, it's not enough just to drop a coin or two into the pushkah. That's one pesach. That's you opening up your hand. But you have to open up your heart also prior to davening. How do you do that? It's kind of hard to open up your heart to a metal pushka. You know, you pick up the pushka, you say, how are you feeling today? You know, anything you want to talk about? Right? How do you relate emotionally to a piece of tin? Right? That's not such an easy thing. Perhaps, again, I don't know that the Kliyakar is speaking about this directly, but Kayodua, there's a practice that goes back to the Ari HaKadosh. The Ari HaKadosh said that before a person starts davening, he should state verbally, I'm a kabbal upon myself the mitzvah v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha. right? So, again, it's not exactly the same thing as giving tzedakah, but it's creating that sense of an emotional bond with the fellow Jew. Maybe that would fit into the Kli Yoker's idea that before davening you're supposed to have the Shnei Tzachim, the two openings, the opening of the heart, but the opening of the hand, coupled together with the opening of the heart, and then, and only then, is the person really ready to daven. Al Kain, Kolin Yomei Hatzdaka Kfulin, Achas Biyad V'Achas Beleit, V'Al Kol Echor Me'el HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kovel Lo Schar B'Fnei Atzmo. It's for that reason that the Torah always uses these double lashonos in speaking of tzedaka, and for each aspect of tzedaka, your zocha to a different bracha. L'chach nema ki voret yivorechecha. And that's why the pasuk at the end of the parasha of tzedaka says, Hashem will bless you, He will bless you. There's a double lashon of blessing. Why? Because if you fulfill the two aspects of tzedaka, you're zocha to two aspects of bracha, two aspects of blessing that come as a reward for that. V'yalzeh amru chazal v'merish chatu b'kiflayim, ki chatu b'tzedaka she'in yonu kafu, ki moshe kosov hinezeh hoya avon stoma choseich, v'yad oni ve'ev yor loech zika. When the Navi speaks of the Jewish people sinning b'kiflayim, sinning doubly, it doesn't just mean, says the Kli Yoker, that the Jewish people sinned a double portion of sin, or they sinned a lot. It means that in particular, the Jewish people prior to the Churban Bayis Rishon were neglectful in terms of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Because every neglect of the mitzvah of tzedakah is a double sin. It's the neglect of not only the financial aspects of tzedakah, it's the neglect of the emotional aspects of tzedakah. So that's chatu b'kiflayim. The Jewish people sinned doubly by a failure to give tzedakah. V'chatu gam b'shavosos, k'mo shekasu m'shavsosai helim o'ineyem, uv'medrish shekolin yoni shabbos kafu. He then adds the following, which really takes the piece, it's a short idea, but it takes the piece in a slightly different direction. Says the Kli Yoker, the truth is, when you look at the idea of Shabbos, Shabbos is also a mitzvah that has a double component to it. And, you know, again, when it talks about chatu b'kiflayim, it also refers not only to a neglect of tzedakah, but to a neglect of Shabbos, because every neglect of Shabbos is a double sin, two sins being committed simultaneously. Now, we know that that has, what are the two aspects of Shabbos? So we know, I mean, this Zachar and Shamar, right? The Torah in two different places speaks about Shabbos. You should remember Shabbos. You should guard Shabbos. And we know that this is significant in Halacha as well. The Gemara describes Shabbos as a mitzvah lo sa'aseh va'aseh. It's a mitzvah which has both negative aspects in terms of do nots, as well as positive aspects do. In other words, Shabbos involves not writing, not cooking, all of the lavan test malachas. It also involves, you know, all of the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. You know, the idea of making kiddush, the idea of kavod va'oneg, you know, the honor and the delight that we're supposed to invest in Shabbos. So Shabbos is such a powerful mitzvah because, like tzedakah, it has these dual aspects to it. V'chatu gam b'shiluach avodim chavshi b'mei Yirmiya. Uksiv bohem ki mishnes tchar sochir avodcha. Zeu chatu b'kiflayim. A third example, he says, of a sin that has a double aspect to it. We know the pasuk in Yirmiyahu describes how one of the failures that the Jewish people had leading up to the Churban Bayis Rishon was they were not scrupulous about shiluach avodim, about sending away the Jewish slaves after they had come to the end of their 6 years of servitude. Yirmiyahu castigated the people, the Navi tells us. The people, okay, were kind of embarrassed into sending their slaves away, and then they turned around, they took the slaves back as slaves. Now, a slave is described by the Torah as working twice as much as a regular worker. Mishnas Har Sachir. So there's this double element. You know, he works during the day, but he doesn't go home at night. He works at night as well. Chazal say that the Eved Ivri can be given a Shivcha Knainis. He can be given a non-Jewish maidservant with whom he is encouraged to have children, and the children then belong to the master. The children belong to the Jewish master. So there's this double element in the mitzvah, or in the inyan of Eved Ivri as well. So that's another example of Chatur B'Kiflayim. Right? So again, that's an aside, but besides the idea of Sukkah being a chet kafel, you also have it with regard to Shabbos and Shiluach Havodim, davka things which we know that the Jewish people were not scrupulous about leading up to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Dover Acher, another idea building on the first. Again, he brought out this idea that with regard to the mitzvah of Sukkah in the Parsha in Re'eh, there's so much double language, you know, five examples of a double lashon. Kol akfulos bo lomar shenosan pam echad tiske litem gam pam sheni ki nesina goreres nesina v'chein kula. This is akin to what we spoke about in Parshas Ekev, where in Parshas Ekev the Kli Yaakov brought out the idea that shmiya goreres shmiya. If a person learns Torah, that's the biggest guarantee to make sure that he's going to learn and understand more Torah. The same is true with Tzaka, says the Kli Yaakov. You want to become a Baal Tzaka? Start giving. If you give Tzaka in one instance, you'll be Zocha to give Tzaka properly in a second instance. Right? And he says that's the double Lashonas that we find five times throughout the Parsha of Tzaka. Nason Titen, Posoach Tiftach, meaning, if you do it once, you'll get hooked. You'll get into this habit of giving Tzaka. Now, the truth is, you don't need the Kli Yaakov to tell us this. All you need to do is send in a check to one Jewish organization, right? One Sukkah organization, and you'll see, you'll be Zoche to be bombarded with requests from many, many, many other Sukkah organizations, right? They take the words of the Kli Yaakov very, very much to heart, right? Not some titen. If you give once, you'll be giving many, many times in the future. But the Kli Yaakov is giving us a little bit of chizik, as opposed to seeing that as an annoyance, as we sometimes do. We should see that as an opportunity. That Baruch Hashem, you know, our giving of Tzaka once gives us the wherewithal and the opportunity to give Tzaka another time. Perhaps he has in mind as well, not only will we be solicited another time, which clearly is the case, but, you know, our giving Tzaka once will give us the wherewithal, the financial wherewithal, to be able to give tzedakah again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless us because of the tzedakah that we give, and that in turn will lead to giving even more tzedakah. As Hashem will add a little bit more after Ma'ariv from Rabbi Ben Akasha Omer. Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'zakos v'zikah. Part two of the Kli Yaakov Shir Parshas Re'eh. We spoke in the first half of the Shir about Inyanei Tzedakah. From the perspective of the Kli Yaakov, again, he highlighted the fact that there are, when the Torah describes Tzedakah, it does so many times, five times in fact, using a double Lashon, and we spoke about the significance of the double Lashon. Specifically, the idea of the Kli Yaakov brings out that every act of Tzedakah is really a dual act. It's an act of providing for the Ani financially, it's an act of providing for the Ani emotionally. Towards the end of that of the Parsha of Tzedakah, Perek Tesvav Pasuk Yud, so the Torah says you should take care of the aniyim. Ki biglal adavar hazeh yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha b'chol ma'asecha b'chol mishlach yodecha. Because if you do this thing, because of this thing, taking care of the ani, God will bless you in all of the works of your hands. Comes the Kli Yaakov Rezal Lomdu Mishon Biglal Shigal Galhu Choshechozer Ba'olam. The Torah uses the word biglal, which is a somewhat unusual term. Biglal, because of, right? So biglal hadavar hazeh yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha. Biglal, says the Kli Yaakov, is related to the word galgal, a cycle, and says Chazal, poverty and wealth are a cycle that cycles through the world. And indeed, every person goes through ups and downs. In other words, the person who yesterday was a pauper may find himself on the top of the heap tomorrow. The person who today is the CEO of a company may find himself, you know, a pauper, a destitute tomorrow. It's a galgal hushachozer ba'olam. Riches and poverty is the cycle. And Well, I don't know that Chazal would say every poor person is destined to become rich and every rich person is destined to become poor, but you never know. In other words, you know, you can't take for granted that people who are of a certain stature in society are going to stay that way. V'rabim tamu al aloshim ki biglal ein aloshim gal gal shere gimel achas chaseiro. Many question. They don't understand this drash of Chazal because the word biglal and galgal are not exactly the same word. Biglal, you know, seems to be related to gimel lamed lamed. Galgal has an extra gimel in there. So how can you say that the two words are, you know, tied together? The Omer Anish the Kavanosum Zal Lafarish biglal miloshon v'galalu es ha'evin v'rav salomer. He says as follows. It's not that the word biglal is being related to the word galgal phonetically. You're right. You know, one is with an extra gimel, one lacks the gimel. But biglal is related to the word to roll. And he quotes the pasuk in Bereishis, "V'galalu es ha'evin me'alpi ha'be'er." Right? The shepherds would gather at the well and they would roll the large stone off of the top of the well. What's that? Right. So the truth is there's probably the fact that in one incarnation the gimel is missing is probably everything is related ultimately to the word gal, you know, a pile of something. So a pile is stationary. Gal gal means that the pile, you know, becomes another pile as it turns around. Well, okay, but the kibbutz, he says, you know, the gal means to roll. And biglal means, it describes the motion of somebody who has to wander or roll from place to place. The ani is described as being misgoleil bein ha'anoshim. In other words, an ani, doesn't really have a permanent home. He can't stay at home. He wanders from place to place begging. But when the ani is wandering from place to place begging, so then, yivarechecha Hashem, biglal adov Hashem hazeh, yivarechecha Hashem, God will bless you, and what that means is that the Ani himself is going to find himself, says the Kli Yakar, you know, not having to to go around and ask people for handouts, for tzedakah. In other words, the way the Kli Yakar seems to be understanding it is Biglal Hadavar Hazeh Yivarechecha Hashem. As the Ani goes from place to place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send down bracha, not just to you, the one who gives it, but ultimately there will be a bracha that will descend upon the Ani who's going from place to place that will enable him to not have to go from place to place. And what does that imply? Mimela shamin shadavar misgalgal ba'olam kigalgal shekol nosein sofo lios mekabel. The way the Ribbono Shalom set up the world is that anyone who gives, in the end of the story, will end up being a mekabel, will end up being able to receive from people, or having to receive from people. The time of Shogover Nira, Shlo Rasa Hashem Shia Ha'adam is Chazik Ba'oris, Hu Vizara Ad Olam. Al Derech Shenemar, Ba'oris Los Vimacher Lismisus Kili Ha'oris. Ve'ilu Lo Hoya Ha'adam Ba'al Lichlau Midaso La'olam La'hu V'lo Zara. Hayamastik bars lismisos v'yishkach kil Hashem ha'aretz. Al kain hakadosh baruch hu misadev shekol adam balidei midazal ohu alzara. So the Kli Yakar wants to try to understand the idea behind this Maimer Chazal. So Chazal say that poverty is a galgal hachozer ba'olam, right? It's a cycle. That sooner or later everyone, whether personally or through their children, is going to come into contact with poverty. Right? The way the Kli Yakar understands it is that, you know, the person himself may not become a pauper, but sooner or later his children, his descendants, his grandchildren, you know, poverty is something you can't escape. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a world with that to the people and the people who are giving, right? He says, Kol nosein sofa leos mekabel. the people who are giving tzedakah are sometimes destined to be the ones who are ultimately taking tzedakah. It doesn't seem fair. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a world where there's the cycle of poverty which seems inescapable? He says, we know there's a pasuk in the end of Bahar, Ha'aretz lo simacher l'tzmisos kili ha'aretz. The land in Eretz Yisrael can never be sold permanently because the land ultimately belongs to Hashem. That's why we have the institution of Yovel, to make sure that the land, you know, always reverts back to its original owner. The idea that we're not owners over the land, the idea that the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a very important hashkafa. You know, we're just passing through in a sense. The notion that sooner or later everyone is touched by poverty is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of reminding us ki li ha'aretz, that the world and everything in it and wealth ultimately belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, you know, no one can say that I've set up a system for myself where I'm impervious to poverty. Sooner or later, poverty comes back to strike. So I'll tell you a word from Rosh Schwab. I got into trouble with this word once because I said this over a certain context. But Rosh Schwab, in his Mayim Beis HaShoeva's comments on Chumash and Parshas Re'eh, he speaks about that Mayim Chazal, Aser Bishvil Shutis Asher. You know, give stock or give meister in order that he should become wealthy. The expression bothers Rav Schwab very much. He says, what a coarse kind of incentive to give tzedakah. You know, give tzedakah so that you become filthy rich. You know, just it doesn't sound right, he says. So Rav Schwab says, no, we know in Pirkei Avos, Eizu Asher Sameach B'chelko, right? Who's the truly rich person? The person who is satisfied with his lot. Tzedakah Rav Schwab, what Chazal mean to say, Aser B'shvil Shetis Asher, means if you're in the habit of giving tzedakah, you'll develop a character trait which means that you'll be satisfied with what you have. Right? Doesn't necessarily mean that you'll become rich in a literal sense, but it means that you'll become, you know, you'll have that character trait of sameach b'chelko. Right? So the truth is, if you it's a difficult interpretation because the Gemara gives examples of people taking off meister and giving tzedakah and becoming, you know, actually wealthy. Right, so I guess what Rav Schwab would do with those Mamari Chazal is to say that, you know, Bishvil Shetis Asher could express itself in multiple ways. It could mean that you'll become rich literally, but it could also mean that you'll become rich in a non-financial sense, you know, in the sense of Sameach B'chelko. If you interpret like that, so then you can reconcile the two Mamari Chazal. In other words, the guy who gives will certainly become rich in some way or another, but poverty is the galgal achozer ba'olam. In other words, you know, sooner or later, poverty does come around, you know, even to those who give. I once said over this pshat from Rav Schwab in a certain context, and a fellow who was sitting there, you know, came over to me after the drasha. He was a big Baal Stocker himself, and he laced into me. He said, "What are you getting up and giving such a drasha? No one's going to give stock anymore. What do you mean? You know, give stock so that you should be Sameach B'chelko. No, that's not going to get people to give stock. Give stock so you become rich. That's an incentive. People are going to listen to that. Ah, you Sameach B'chelko. Nah, nobody's going to give stock. I'll set." Okay, so he wasn't a member of Kahal Das Yishurim, this particular individual. But, okay, but that's Rav Schwab writes in the Mayan Beis HaShoeva. So, you know, that pshat, you know, even though, again, I don't know if it's partial of pshat, but that pshat could help reconcile these two Mamari Chazal.
That is the first of all that you become rich tenfold.
Right, the Kliyakar certainly seems to interpret it in a very literal sense, you know, that you're going to give and become rich. You know, maybe what it means is, you know, you'll become rich for a period of time, right? But Galga Chozer Ba'olam means there's no guarantee that the riches are going to stay with you. In other words, I think that may be the easiest way to reconcile them. Aser B'shul Shetis Asher. Yes, if you give Meister money, if you give Tzedakah, Taka, you know, you are going to see in the short run an incredible increase in wealth. but, you know, there's no guarantee that 10 years down the line you're going to keep that wealth, just like there's no guarantee that you'll keep any wealth that you have.
Even if you give it.
Even if you give it. What's that?
Why would that be true? Each year
so you're saying if you continue giving, if I continue giving, you know, I should always be impervious to this galgal chosid ba'olam idea.
Right.
So maybe in such a case, maybe that's what the Kli Yakar has in mind, that, you know, it's something that happens to your children, meaning maybe Taki, you can protect yourself, you know, with your giving, but if your children are not going to follow suit, you know, so sooner or later, you know, the cycle of poverty is going to affect them. Maybe that's what he means. But he says, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create such a mitzvah that there's this galgal of poverty? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially doesn't want us to get too comfortable in the world. He wants us to realize that we're not really masters over the world. God wants to instill in us the hashkafa that we're just passing through. Right? The next pasuk goes on to say, the poor shall never depart from the midst of the land. Ki kerev ha'aretz mechayiv inyan zeh ka'amur. Right? Because, you know, it's the land itself, the notion that we can't feel too permanently rooted on the land, which creates this cycle of poverty, which is inescapable. Al ken anochim esav cholimor, pasu achtiv tachas yod cholani yecha. He gives an interesting interpretation of Pasuk, which we also know well. Right, the pasuk says, right, I've never seen a tzaddik abandon and his children begging for bread. But according to what we just learned, so it's a galgal achozer ba'olam. So he says, no. The pasuk means to say that if a person gives tzedakah, maybe this is his reconciliation of two ma'amari chazal, if a person gives tzedakah, either he's going to be protected or his children are going to be protected. So the galgal hachozer ba'olam is going to afflict his children or himself, but not both. David HaMelech means to say, I've never seen a tzaddik and his children and his descendants afflicted with poverty. When poverty comes, it spares at least one generation that's left over from everything. Right, so I guess not necessarily. In other words, you know, you could have a situation where, you know, one generation is able to pull itself out of poverty, or the next generation finds itself in poverty. I'm sorry? Right, no, I think he means adult children in this context. He means, you know, the descendants, you know, who are going to be spared from this thing. Okay, wish everybody good Shabbos, and again, as we mentioned, so next week I'll be away during the week, so we're not going to have the shiurim, but we look forward to picking up the following week, Be'ezus Hashem, with the shiurim and Kli Yakar Parshas Shoftim. Okay.